Do 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 Batman. That's the wrong sound.
Welcome everybody to the show, Broke Down Garage. We back. Brent Gill here with me as always, Jake Becker. Fun little episode today. We talk about the car market a little bit and our thoughts on it, Jake's thoughts on it specifically, based off of the I guess I should say auction. Yeah, the shenanigans at Barrett Jackson in Scottsdale this week.
It was a mess.
It was very confusing, and so we get into that. We also talk about our cars, of course, and get into a little bit about the Chevy Blazer, and then, of course, we end up on the largest cruise ship in the motherfucking world. It's a fun app, as always. We'll see you in there. Brent Gill here with Jake Becker. This is Broke Down Garage. Let's go.
Woo.
Did he hit record? He did.
I'm recording, baby. We're blasting.
This is what my head looks like. It's the fucking worst. I'm just laying in bed all the time, Jake. My back is fucked.
I totally understand what that mode is all about. I've also been doing that.
Ugh. It's like, then, it's never fun working from a laying down position because it's just really easy to like get one thing accomplished and be like, you know, I'm so close to my browser.
Jesus Christ. I really thought you were going to say like a nap or I'm so comfortable that then it's like, oh, you've accomplished it all today. You're like, I'm going for number six.
What do you think comes after the browser investigation? A nap.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Dude.
Oh, man.
My body is fucked. Although I will say I have the most amount of progress I've had in the last few weeks today, which was good. It hurts to walk, it hurts to stand, it hurts to sit. So I'm just lying down a bunch, eating a bunch of pills.
That sucks.
And eating a fuck ton of edibles. Jake, let me tell you, brother, I am smashing some edibles.
Nice. You getting zooted?
Dog, I'm getting zooted and booted. It is. I got my med card still. And so I get these 1,000 milligram packages.
Yeah.
And I'm just eating, you know, 2-3 pieces at a time. And just getting floored. It's great. Jesus. Oh, it's fucking great. And here's how I know I've built up a tolerance for them is I'm eating the nighttime ones that are specifically branded for nighttime. And I'm just not getting tired. And I'm like, that's a problem. I'm eating too many of these things.
That's usually when I know I'm fucking up. When all of a sudden I'm like, the weed's not working. Like, no, the weed's working. You've done too much weed this week. Them's the breaks, Becker.
Your receptors can't take it no more. Yeah, so that's been fun. My car here in Denver is on its last leg. I can already feel it. So, Jake, check this out. I'm so furious about this. My friend, I sent him, the guy that helped me with the Z3, I had him do some regular maintenance on the Subaru. He didn't do very good work. And then he quit and moved. And then my Subaru started making bad noise. And then I was just like, well, I don't want to repay for this. So I just kept letting it make bad noise. And now it's just getting worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, that's how that works. Yes, very good.
And so I took it to Pep Boys because I have a fleet account at Pep Boys. I get a huge discount there. And I go there like, hey, can we fix this too? And they're like, yeah, we think this is a timing issue. It's not so much of what this code's throwing. This will also get thrown by timing. By the way, it sounds when you start it, we think it's timing. You should go back to the guy that fixed it first and have him address it. I'm like, he doesn't work here anymore or work anymore. And then they're like, all right, well, we can bring our specialist in. He's a district guy, so he's only here on Fridays every other week. And then he gets there and is like, you should sell this. And I was like, what? He goes, yeah, I mean, there's no way to really know what's wrong with this. It is timing probably, but if we crack in there, this could be a lot of money and I don't want to do this. You should go to either a dealership or you should just move on to another car. So it has not been registered since May of last year.
Okay.
But it has, I have Air Force license plates on there. So.
Oh, so you think, that's your super white privilege pass?
It's my invisibility cloak. It's what your
SWP turn up, super white privilege. It makes me go 10 miles an hour faster without the radars seeing it, you know?
Oh, it's so funny. It's so great. Yeah, so that's what I'm up to. I don't know what to think about it. I don't know. I kind of want to get – my buddy's going to rent or it's going to lease a car or he's going to buy one, and I kind of want to just trade it in so I don't have to give the car to someone because I feel like that's bad karma.
Yeah.
But – I've already gotten enough bad karma buying cars that break down almost immediately after I buy them that I'm kind of like, I feel like I want to deliver this out to someone else.
Nope.
Yeah, that's not how karma works. I don't think you get to decide what you...
You don't get to dole it out. It'll just make yours worse.
Fuck!
Especially with cars, dude. I'm always too honest when I sell used cars.
Yeah. I thought about just being like, it throws a P0420 code... Sounds rough when you start it when it's cold. I don't know.
Oh, I know somebody's being obtuse when they just write, like, this is the code it throws in the description. I'm like, oh, really? So you don't want to just describe what's wrong with your car to me?
Don't have time to fix it. That's my favorite. Don't have time to fix it. I have the parts. Don't have time. Well, those aren't the right parts, brother.
Yeah. That depends on the type of car. Once it gets new enough to where... It's like, well, which 6 month production cycle was it in?
Yeah.
But when I see something from the 40s and it's an 83-year-old man who's like, didn't have time to finish. It's like, no shit. Fucking Grim Reaper's knocking at the door, Grandpa. It's time to fucking sell those parts. Let's go.
Oh, man.
Dude. I saw the car market go literally... cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
What happened?
In the last week. Barrett Jackson did their Scottsdale auctions.
Oh, God, yes.
Which is like the big one of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And other than like one or two cars, not any of the prices made any sense to me.
I think I watched this or some parts of this. Was this a couple weeks ago? Like a week or two ago?
It's been all week.
Oh, it's been this whole past week? Okay, no, then I didn't see it.
Yeah, it was... Last Monday through Sunday. They didn't air anything on Sunday, but last Monday through Saturday.
So what happened? What happened?
What happened was that what's going on, to my eyes watching it now, is that for real, the old timers who know what this shit is are damn near gone.
Okay.
The young kids are insane and so dumb with their money that it upsets me to my fucking core. And then other people are just buying with their heart in a way that doesn't make any fucking sense. It'd be like letting a bunch of kids who don't understand like monetary value pick their favorite Pokemon card. Like, it's just a bunch of people bidding really high on something they like and they don't know why or if it's even good.
So they're like bidding like 200K on like a 87 Civic.
No. Dude,
what?
Like 4-year-old Jeeps, 3-year-old Jeeps going for like fucking 200K, 300K.
What?
Uh-huh.
Do they have like the auction results online somewhere?
Yeah, you can look up the top results and shit. I haven't found a thorough list yet. I've been kind of trying to look like while we were talking, but I was also trying to stay engaged. So
that's fair.
I got the top list on the top day. There was a Mercedes-Benz Gullwing Coupe that was the nicest one I've ever seen.
Like the 300 SL?
Uh-huh. That's exactly what it was. It sold for $3.41 million.
Jesus Christ.
A Bugatti Chiron sold for $2.97 million. But when you factor in all the fees and charges for going to auction, that dude barely broke even on sticker.
Oh, weird. How much was the sticker on the Bugatti?
The Chiron? Well, one, it was a fiber body.
Okay.
So it's the dyed carbon fiber that's two shades of blue. Okay. No, it's the new 1600 horsepower.
The W16 or something?
It's a fucking monster, dude. It's the Veyron's child that has made everyone forget who the Veyron was.
Got you. But it went for almost under sticker.
It went for 2.97, but when you factor in the 10% going to the auction house at minimum, plus all the prep work for sale. I think it's like 8% going the other
way. Yeah.
And then if they did an oil change before they went, that's like 60K. And like when you just factor in all the prices they spent, they probably barely made any money on selling that car for almost $3 million. So like the second most expensive car in the auction really didn't make anybody money except the auction house.
Wild. Did you say a $60,000 oil change?
Yeah.
What, Jake, can you walk me through before we move on with this? What is involved in a $60,000 oil change? Does anyone get removing, to come?
No. Removing like carbon body panels and under protective service or surfaces, and then having somebody who's certified to service it because there's only so many. I know even on a Veyron, an oil change is like $8,000 or something. The new fancy Ferrari, an oil change is like 20.
Is it because they're hang on.
It's labor.
The oil pan is not accessible.
No, on that car that they made into a W for the cylinders, they weren't worried about people servicing it. They were just going for high engineering.
Well, doesn't that take away from the high engineering?
No. Ideally, really, so like the theory behind it is, and it's why automotive designs have always been most successful being introduced this way, is that you just engineer it to its best possible outcome with the materials and the design and the manufacturing abilities you have now, and you build it as a supercar, a Bugatti or a luxurious Cadillac with a V16 or a Cadillac with power windows in the 50s, and then you let these rich people that can afford this way overpriced shit deal with the fact that it might be buggy every once in a while and pay to have it figured out. And then by the time your manufacturing equipment's been updated to make it less buggy and all that, then you can start putting it in lower priced vehicles. So like all the timing developments that come from these W motors are going to make their way down into VWs in the next couple of years.
Interesting.
And Lamborghini even sooner. And like that's ideally how you use structured car companies. It's not just to sell a luxurious car to the most rich people. You're also selling them tech so that they can pay for the upfront cost of investing in it, so that later on you'll be able to offer it to more people at a cheaper price.
Well, I'm just going to go on a limb and say, if I buy a car that I can't get under there and look and see where to drain the oil, that's going to make me upset.
Right. But if you bought a car for $2.5 million and you still have the time or desire to crawl under it, you also have 40 other cars and don't care that that one needs to be in the shop for a month.
That's
like
true.
That's part of the logic behind it. I guess
that's true.
Yeah. They get to do that because the buyers aren't broke people who are like, if I don't make it to work in the next 20 minutes, it's over.
Oh God. Okay. So that went for 2.9. What's like some dumb ones on the list there that like the Jeep you said, or something like that?
I'm looking like Dodges, but that was the thing though, that made the auction make less sense. Is it like a 2021, a 2023 Dodge Challenger Scat Pack Last Call would go for almost 300. And then one in a different color, like an hour and a half later, would go for 110.
What?
Yeah. Or like you'd see three Jeeps in a row go for 200 plus. And then you'd see three Jeeps the next day go for like 70, 80 for the build cost. It was just really the most inconsistent fucking bidding I've ever seen. It really was the first time I've ever watched a car auction, and it appeared that no one there knew anything about what these cars were, what made them better than the other ones. It seemed like everyone was there just buying their favorite, prettiest car they saw when they were walking through. Like, it didn't seem like anybody was buying anything in any way. I saw one old man who literally bought every car I thought was a deal. Every time I was like, holy fuck, how'd that go that cheap? They turned the camera and it was the same old man signing the paperwork.
Do you think it's people just hiding their money, like the uber wealthy got uber wealthier and they're like, I don't know, let's just fucking put it on whatever I want. So it's like instead of investing it in art, they're buying cars. You know, you think it's that kind of shit?
No, I think that's just died. I think that's what was going on with boomers who were hiding money. And now there's a bunch of young people who think having cars is cool because Vin Diesel made them hard once in high school. And so they're buying all these cars that aren't like, that's what was selling, dude, like Side Cove Corvettes, which coincidentally were just in Barbie.
Yeah, I remember that.
They're selling for the most I've ever seen them sell for.
Wow.
But like 60s Corvettes, not so much.
So what do you think this is showing with the car market? Like, do you think, I mean, it's chaos is what you're describing to me, but like what is this saying about the health of the car market or like the future of it or the stability? Are there holes in the market that you think?
No, this whole thing seemed like a shit show. It seemed to me like this is like a bad omen for the investor level car market.
Oh,
it's a beautiful omen for people like me and you, but this is a really bad moment for the investor car market. Because it was evident to me for 90% of the special cars, most people didn't care. And the ones who cared so much less than anybody's ever cared before, especially when you factor in inflation. Like it was really not, it wasn't a good thing for cars. Like I saw the cleanest 30s Pontiac I've ever seen sell for like 19 grand. The 56 Buick two-door Riviera sold for 16.5. And that would be like 70, 80 grand to build that car to the quality it was.
Wow.
These aren't cheap cars. These are very nice cars crossing the block, most of them. And it was bananas what was going for money, what wasn't going for money, how one thing would go for money, and then an hour later, the same car, the same trim and a different color wouldn't go for any money.
And do you think that there's some shenanigans going on where there's like a bunch of bricks of cocaine in this one cool color, and so it gets bought that way?
It was almost that bad. It was truly, it was almost so nonsensical with the roller coaster bidding. Cause like the way you look at it is ideally if 30 people were deep bidding on that Challenger to send it up over fucking 300 grand, only one person won. So when the next one comes up, that's the same spec, there should be people in the audience ready to pounce. How the fuck does no one care? And it was over and over, dude, it was with Restomod Camaros, wanted to go for a, it really, when it was all done after like the sixth day, I was like, I think what I just saw is the beginning of millennials and Gen Z people with money buying shit solely on what it looks like.
Wild.
I think they were solely buying on style and maybe hearing some buzzwords they'd heard before.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. Does Bear Jackson ever do like a report, like their, like a recap of their auctions? Like, here's what we found and what the fuck.
They do, but they generally report on the high dollar shit. They're not really showing what people stole because they don't want to put that image out as part of their thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But like an FLA Nuremberg ring sold for 1.65 million. Fucking Donald Trump's goddamn Lamborghini sold for 1.1 million. And it's, you know, a $400,000 car, but it went over what it's worth because it was Trump's, which upsets me.
That's nuts.
Yeah. It was a really weird showing of prices, how values have changed, how like a 62 Impala with the prettiest paint you've ever seen went for almost 200 grand, but then a bunch of other 62 Impalas with 9 out of 10 paint jobs, 10 out of 10 by any show conditions, you know, just not at this auction. Go for nothing. Like, it's just, it was super all over the place, man.
Interesting. I'd be curious if these, if the auctions coming up are going to be, are if like the next couple years of auctions are going to be this chaotic like that. I'd be really curious to see that.
I think it might be this chaotic forever. I think going forward, yeah, I think antique cars after the next like 5 years are just going to be bought based on style. Because like, what do you prefer, a Star Chief or a Rocket 88?
I'm more of a Fiero guy.
See, yeah, exactly. So like, I just really don't think there's going to be enough knowledge base about what these things are in a couple of years for anybody with money and the ability to drive them to give a shit. It'll be like, oh, I bought that green one. It was the prettiest green. I love this car. Like, what is it? It's a Buick. What kind of Buick? I don't know. 66.
Old.
Yeah. Like, I just don't think these kids are going to be the kind of guys that are like, check it out, dude. I got the Rocket 455 with the dual quad intake, the fucking tall gears, got the 4-speed with no console. Like, I don't think it'll be equipment and ability based as much as it'll be like, I really like my car because it's pretty. I'm going to LS it anyway.
Do you, yes. Do you think that it is, it's that it's pretty, or it's that the we, even our dads didn't grow up in an era where like the beginning of cars were like, cars had already kind of started to get technology and stuff like that. Especially like, you know, when our parents were driving, that's like the 70s, 80s, 90s, you know. Do you think that the technology advancements are what makes us not give a fuck anymore, right? Like, do you think like, well, this shit's so old and it's so hard to drive. There's no synchro mesh. I have to plug the choke to get it. I don't want to do that. Like, is that more what it is than just like the knowledge is dying out? It's that I don't want to do that. I'd rather have this 67 Camaro that it might still be carbureted, but I don't have to fucking choke it before I start it.
A little bit. Well, because it's 67 Camaros too. That's what I mean, man. It was everything. Everything. It was certain examples were going for a fortune. Certain ones were going for a deal. Like cheaper than you could build it.
Mm-hmm.
It really seemed style informed. I know a big part of the market is that these, but not at auction, but at like classic car lots and things like that. These rich guys go down there that are our age and have never driven anything that was older than their 92 Honda they got when they were 16.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, yeah, to them, even a 67 Camaro is a bitch to drive. Even without the choke and everything, the clutch is a little bit different. The linkage can, you know, it's just not the same. You have to start it different depending on the weather and how long you're going to sit there with your foot barely on the gas so that it'll run right till it warms up because you don't want to tune your carb every day. Like, that's definitely a factor of it, but it didn't seem like it at this auction. This seemed heavily influenced by, like, what seemed cool to them at the time. It was rich people way overpaying for a Jeep they could have built themselves in a year. It was just really weird and all over the place. But also that point, I think part of people not liking the old shit when they drive it, if it's been restored to like original, is that a lot of these younger guys don't know shit about hot rodding and don't know that you could throw a Muncie M20 behind any of these bigger engines or a T5 behind any of the smaller ones and make them a stick and put different, you know, steering rates on it. And like, I just don't think they're aware of all the options that are available to them to make these cars better besides plugging new motors in them. Like, I don't think the average car guy anymore really understands like suspension tuning past it's like parts I buy and the suspension guy does it.
Do you think even the suspension guys know?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Suspension's not that complicated.
A BMW system suspension is.
No, it's not. It's very simple.
There's like 86 extra fucking parts to it. That's not needed.
extra parts, but they all move in a specific, like that. That's what, not the parts, not the engineering of it, but like understanding what it does and what changes will do is not complicated.
Well, I can tell you this, Jake, I don't know what to do with the suspension of my car.
Which one?
Either of them.
The Beamers?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's wrong with the suspension?
Well, I want a sport suspension on the E46. We just have like Bilstein B8s, like just the regular ass OEM ones. Uh-huh. But I kind of want a little bit more, cause I still rub my wheels.
Get smaller wheels, dipshit.
I want to get smaller wheels.
No, I want to sacrifice my ride.
No, I need smaller tires, and that's dumb. I don't want smaller tires.
Right. You should get much smaller wheels and bigger tires.
I only have 18s. They're not that big.
That's way too big, Brent.
No, it's not.
What was the biggest tire they offered on that car?
18.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What was the biggest wheel they offered on it in Germany?
Probably still 18. I don't know.
I fucking highly doubt it.
You think it was just 17s?
I bet it was 16s unless you went with an M.
No.
No, dude. See, the thing is the rest of the world, it gets better education. So they've all understood that, like, going with – see, what happened to rims is what's happening to this car auction. People are buying them based on looks, not functionality or what makes them actually good.
Let's see. Beamer tips. Let's see what wheels
came on the
E46.
That's too much rim. I'd go to like a 16 or a 17 with more rubber with all that power you're putting down.
What are you talking about?
No, you're right, dude. All those race cars run low profile tires and drag cars run low profile tires. You're totally onto something. I don't know why I didn't think about it, that all the highest engineered cars
Shut
in the
up,
world
Jake.
Run low profile tires. It's almost like it's the better idea for sure. So wait. Oh no, I was backwards. What I'm saying is what all the race cars run.
So the E46 also was offered with a 19-inch. I should say that.
In Germany?
17, 18, and 19. Well, I can't quite find the German spec of it. But I know that the American ones were offered.
Yeah, but that's because rappers are cool in the United States.
Yeah, they are.
Uh-huh.
They are. But also, Jake, these wheels are fucking expensive.
Well, you don't have to get theirs.
No. The ones I have. I've got the Apex Arcade Rs, the like forged.
Oh, well, the good news is wheels are highly sellable.
Yeah, I bought mine on Facebook.
Very highly sellable wheels.
The problem with mine is
they're
is
too
that
big.
My offset's too wide for the car.
Okay, yeah, so you get new rims, fix the offset, get them smaller. Get more rubber on there, then worry about your suspension once you have your tires dialed in right. You don't adjust the suspension to make wrong tires right.
No.
This is how you fall into the trap of tuned vehicles that don't run correctly all the time. It's great unless you're going into a restaurant with an entryway. If you're doing that, then everything's going to go to hell. But if you're just on the street and it's paved right and there's no dips or bumps or anything like that, you're great.
So you think I should just sell these fucking wheels, huh?
Yes, get smaller wheels.
Well, I'll say this. I switched over to I put on the original wheels that were on there, which I think were 17s.
Probably.
I think well, they were already aftermarket wheels. They had off of a 6 series or something. I can't remember if they're 18s or not, but they were much smaller. They were 225s instead of 255s, 245s, excuse me. And I still got wheel hop or axle hop, and I don't know what to do to fix that. I like can't put my car in full throttle. Or it's going to – I have axle hop.
We probably need a ladder.
I don't know what that is. Like shoots?
I was suppressing a cough. You got my ass. Yeah, no, like a bracing ladder. So yeah, kind of.
How does that work?
It's like a secondary frame under your frame that ties everything together. So when your car tries to do that, it has to lift the whole car, deal, and hook up.
Yeah, whatever I got to do so I can put down full power.
I would genuinely, like not just joking around or poking fun, I would go back to a smaller wheel. I go, dude, width over height all the time. Keep them wide. Keep the offset wrong and get them small enough that it doesn't fuck with the dynamic of your wheel.
I do want more width. I want more traction.
Yeah. You know what gives you traction is rubber.
Yeah. The width of the rubber.
Yeah, but not the height of the metal in between.
Yeah, but the width. Yeah, but the girth of the,
yeah,
the rubber is what gets the job done.
Yeah, dude. You want it girthy? But not yeah, tall, not dude. Too tall.
I want it thick.
Yeah, but I would do that and then drive it hard and adjust the suspension from there. Because I wouldn't adjust the suspension to lower the travel of your car so that your wheels aren't an issue while also riding on no rubber. That sounds like you'll be riding on a fucking jackhammer.
If I kept my 18s and got a ladder.
If you're trying to improve the suspension, cut down on wheel rub, which you do need to get rid of. That should never happen on anything engineered by men.
It only happens going over bumps.
Okay, again, yeah, it's perfect unless any of these things happen. Yeah, you don't want that, dude. You, like that's not finished. Like a finished car, and again. Like, I know your car's beautiful. I know it's the perfect color purple. I know it's
definitely not finished, though. I'll tell you that much.
I know, but fuck a rim, dude. If a pretty rim means that other things need to be adjusted that are going to change the performance in a negative way and the drivability in a negative way, then fuck being cool that way. That is not a good way to be cool if it's going to make you adjust suspension, ride stiffness, all these things to get around one stylistic choice is bad. That'd be like if they told you, like, because it's purple, we actually have to put a worse cam in it.
I feel like you're telling me this as if my wheels don't work. They work. Everything's fine.
So when do they rub?
When I go on like a heavy loaded turn, or if I go over a bump, or if I come out of my driveway, or if I go up my driveway, or.
So their travel's not right. And then when you accelerate, they hop because possibly the travel's not right.
No, it couldn't be that.
Couldn't be the same thing going in the other direction.
No, it couldn't be
when,
that.
When your body digs and it's rubbing and hopping. Couldn't be any of that. It couldn't be this standard way. I feel like you didn't get high enough as a small child off of secondhand fumes and play with cars and sandboxes.
No, I didn't do that, unfortunately. Yeah.
And I did it while listening to old men have the exact same conversation we're having. So there was a lot of like Sheldon Cooper levels physics studies going on in the sandbox about how cars work. But yeah, man, I would change the wheels out. Number one, before you fuck with the suspension, you need to deal with your rear end.
Yeah, I don't know what is, but is it the tires? Is it the wheel? Because
no.
In theory, the diff should be able to hold what I'm giving it.
Okay, well then maybe it's just a bad diff. Happens.
Maybe there's something. Maybe there's something in the axle. I don't know.
Sometimes maybe parts are bad.
Tires. See, I tried to change the tires. The reason I did that experiment with the smaller tires was to give myself some shitty tires to see if it was, if like it was just having an issue with the grip or whatever. So if I gave it like something that could slip easier,
it still didn't help.
Didn't do anything. Hurt my back.
Yeah, I think it's your Oh wait, and then the car's rideability is hurting your back.
No. It hurt my back to change the tires because my back was already hurting.
Yes, that will do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, you don't Yeah, I would change the wheels and tires to a more tame, drivable package instead of a stylistic package.
That's a hefty price tag you got there, Jake.
I bet after you sell your rims, buying smaller rims and bigger rubber that nobody wants will come out cheaper than you think. Fuck it, dude. Put your car on Steelys.
What? Heavy ass tires?
No.
Or wheels?
Stamp Steelys are not really heavier than anything. They're surprisingly light, actually.
Why a Steely?
Because they're like $118 a piece. That was before inflation. They're probably like $180 now.
Instead of $360 a piece?
Per rim?
Yeah.
That's still pretty cheap.
These Arcade R's, I think that's what I got them for. I think the Arcade R's, the forged ones, are six. If they were brand new, they were like $679 or something a piece.
Dude, the wheels on my Mini are $1,200 a piece.
Let me see here. The Apex Arcade R's are $9,842 each. No, that's flow formed. I don't want those. The flow formed are $380 each. The Arcade R's are $600,000.
Yeah, that sounds more right. Yeah, $600 a piece. That's more of a pricey wheel. $300's kind of middle of the line.
Yeah. They're 15 pounds lighter. That's why I wanted that fucking
Steelys thing. That are sturdy that I could put big ass fucking tires on, run them hard, fucking get them dirty, fuck brake dust. If anything, spend the fucking $300 to get all four of them fucking powder coated body color.
I can't believe. I mean, steel wheels, dog. I bought these on my fucking Jeep Wrangler.
Yeah. Put Steelys on, paint them white and put them on your Beamer.
These look ridiculous.
No, nah, you'd be looking like Darkwing Duck.
That's also kind of ridiculous.
Is it, or is it dangerous?
If you're in trouble, call DW. 15-inch style 12 wheel, $51 for an E46.
Yeah, $51 for a rim.
That's a offset. It's a 6.5-inch wide rim.
What are you running now? 11?
No, it's smaller than that. I think it's 9. I have a 255 on there.
Yeah, but I'd run cheap ass rims.
The wheel itself is 9.
Light cheap rims. Fix the suspension once you've changed the rims and wheel package. People are going to be mad once we get listeners when they hear me say this.
Yeah, I'm mad hearing you say it.
It's because everybody wants their cool thing to look the coolest, and this like perception of what cool is changed.
Well, I'm looking at an E46 M3 on steel wheels, and it looks like he's got a spare tire on.
Yeah, that's what it looks like, bud.
Why is this so exciting for you?
Because it's the right choice. Being right makes me excited.
These look so bad. Some of these steel wheels have a fucking BMW icon or like logo in the middle.
Yeah.
They're so ugly.
Yeah, do that. Paint them white.
No, I might buy some old like BMW wheels, like some old
You should go for the heaviest ones you could find, those old BBS ones that are made of anchor steel.
Isn't unsprung weight like the most important thing to cut down on?
Yeah, that's why I'm being sarcastic about you getting old BMW wheels.
Oh, because they're super heavy.
They were fairly heavy until like the E46 is when I think they started to really lighten up their wheels. Because in the 80s, high performance rims were so flimsy that they weren't durable. So a lot of these companies that were designing designer, quote unquote, rims for manufacturers were way over beefing them up.
Because they were so flimsy.
Because they specialized in designing lightweight, flimsy rims for actual track use. So then when BMW would call them up and be like, hey, we want you to design the new rim for our 6 Series, they'd be like, guys, they can't break. We got to build them triple thick. Make the webbing in the middle not even cut out. Just make that shit solid. We just paint the webbing on top. Do it.
Yeah, dude, the wheels on that 6 Series are so heavy.
Yeah.
Like, insane.
Yeah. Yeah, heavy rims suck. They also make for a good ride. There's pluses and minuses.
Why is it such a better ride?
Because you're more planted. There's more unsprung weight. Less rebound. Yeah.
I may have to sneeze, and if I sneeze, it's going to be a problem. Uh-oh.
I love it. He comes when he sneezes. He's got a really, Mandzukas on the league.
Problem is, if I sneeze, I have to be in a fetal position. Otherwise, it's really going to hurt.
I understand. I follow your bad back. I just thought it'd be fun to make the joke that you come when you sneeze.
Yeah, just a little bit, though.
For you. It's a lot for other guys. But yeah, wheel science is important, and I think it's wholly ignored due to style.
Well, the look of a wheel can change the whole look of a car. I mean, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's why people have invested so much money in making lightweight wheels that look cool.
Yeah, but it's not just about lightweight. That's what I mean. I think there was this thing when like big rims became popular where everyone was like, unsprung weight, stupid, and everybody internalized that, and that's all they cared about.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also ratios of like your sidewalls and how much dampening your tire does before it transfers to your suspension. There's so many factors involved with what's going on with your tire and rim setup that I think it's underappreciated and overlooked a lot. And then manufacturers have to play into it because, like you just said, the size and look of a wheel can change the look of a car so much that if what everybody wants is a 20-inch rim, they have to start pushing it because everybody's looking for that. They're going to put them on their car anyway, so it's factored into the price of buying it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sucks. Like it's cars are definitely worse for having bigger rims. Definitely worse for having bigger rims, 100%.
What are these race cars doing? I mean, I know Formula One, they went up from like a 16-inch rim to an 18-inch rim this past year.
How much rubber do they run, Brent?
And they hated it.
Yeah. And how much rubber do they run?
Like width-wise?
No, like height.
Well, they were forcing a lower profile tire this year.
But what'd they go, from 6 inches to 4 inches or from 8 inches to 6 inches? They have a lot of rubber and they're bitching about losing some.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you have no rubber and you're upset about adding any. Do you see how like your theory doesn't match up with the greatest drivers in the world's theory?
No, that's not what my question was. My question was, what are the race cars doing with their with their tires now? Because a lot of these race cars are still like running like 17s and 18s, and they're like running carbon fiber wheels to get them super light. So clearly all that is still super important.
Yeah, but they're also running rubber that's designed for it in a completely bespoke fucking suspension setup and power that's much higher than factory power to compensate for the fucking bad decision they're making down there for turnability. Like, there's so many more factors at play there, but none of them are running half an inch of rubber. None of them are running on rubber bands like you see all these cars at shows and parking lots running.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. Like, how thick's the rubber on your rim? An inch?
No.
3/4?
No, it's way more than that. It's a 255, I think it's a 255-55-18 or 255... 35, 18.
Okay. So you're running a little bit of meat, but not much.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad. I mean, again, I know that the thickness of a tire does add to the smoothness of a ride.
Well, and your turning dynamics and body roll, and it's all kinds of shit just other than the bumps.
Should I put my Z3 rims on my E46?
Are they Z3 rims?
Yeah, they are. They're yeah. dope.
Go for it.
I got like 275s in the back.
How big are they? 15s?
No, they are. What are they? I think they're also 18s.
You spread it to me.
I think they're also 18s.
I mean, no.
Yeah, they're so sick, though. I can't believe I have that wide of a tire on there. When I went, like, I got to go to certain tire places because a lot of them won't put the tire on the rim because, like, this is bigger than what it says it can handle. I'm like, it's currently got a 275 on there. Put another one on there.
Depending on what they have to mount the tires, it's probably also that they don't have a mounting machine that can handle it.
Deal with that girth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to drive that Z3 again. It's so fun.
Yeah, now you got your transmission dialed in, I want to drive it too. That made me fucking nervous in Vegas. I didn't want to drive it.
Well, it's still a little funky. I mean, but you have to like lift up when you shift and push down when you go to 2.46.
That's what I mean. Just even now that you know a trick other than when we would be going like, you know, undisclosed amounts of speed on the interstate.
Yeah, definitely double digits, but nothing more. I'd watch
you
take
three attempts to get it into gear, and then you're like, you want to drive it fast? And I'm like, no. I'm good on this trip where your tranny seems like a temperamental fucking child. Oh,
man. That thing did not like it. It was not happy. I'm surprised it made it through.
I'm surprised that we saw what we saw on the interstate in Vegas on that trip.
Which time?
When we were there for LS Fest?
Uh-huh.
That's
Oh, just me driving on the highway?
No, not you. You were driving like our dads think they were driving. Everyone else on the interstate was driving in a way that would make people from the 60s weep with joy had they seen it in real life. If the skies just opened up and like Carol Shelby got to see that in 1966, he'd have been like, oh, fuck yeah, man. Good for these boys. God damn.
I love America.
Dude, we were going criminally fast, and yeah, people were passing us doing rolling quarters like we were going grandma slow on the interstate in traffic.
Yeah. LS Fest is going to be sick this year in Texas.
Yeah, I'm stoked. Very excited. I hope I can make it and make all this work.
When I forgot when it was. I remember you told me.
You told me, silly goose.
No, but I wrote it down. Was it? It's April, I think.
March.
Oh, it's right before my 11 year anniversary for the Boulder show.
Yeah, yeah. Because that's the wildest shit. There's no way those boys will be breaking the law in Texas like they were in. Vegas seemed to be wholeheartedly turning a blind eye to what was happening.
They were like, "Look, you're far enough out of town. We don't care. We're worried about Formula One."
Because even when I was there just like a couple months later for Skankfest, it seemed like there were a lot more cops out for a lot less shenanigans.
Really?
Dude, like I wonder how much of it is like, hey, you know, a lot of our income here is SEMA and the motorsports complex. Like, it's not as big as gambling, but it's definitely not in last place. So when these guys show up to spend money all week, we should maybe not throw them all in jail. That's what it seemed like to me, man. Like, guys were passing us going 180 to 200 for sure. When you're going a buck 20, a buck 30 yourself, and then people are passing you like you're in a Toyota doing its best on an on-ramp.
Dude, and what's funny too is like every one of them, I mean, it's all just like they all sound a little different, but they all still sound just as loud. Like, oh, it's yeah, all just wow.
Oh yeah, they're all
screaming.
Running. The dumbest, like, I don't care about my neighbor exhaust kits that you can find.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking bananas. I forgot what I was just going to say. I had something good.
Was it about LS Fest West or Texas? Because yeah. I'm gonna bring the E46 up to the one in Tejas, in Fort Worth. It's May 17th and 18th is when it is.
Oh yeah, I remember what I was gonna say. You remember that Corvette I fell in love with, even though it's the worst Corvette of all time?
The one you hated with the wide body that you loved.
I love its name is Rambo.
I love that.
That's the name of the car. I have found the videos that the owner has made.
Really?
From years ago. Yeah, dude, that thing is meaner than a fucking rattlesnake. I very much like that car.
I'm trying to think. I still think my favorite car, there are two of them. I know you love that Corvette, but Ken's Charger.
Nova.
Yeah. That thing was so well put together. It was insane.
Yeah, it was immaculate.
And then that chopped, it's probably a 20s, like a rat rod, it looked like. It was all rusted out. It was like
not a chopped body. We've discussed this. That was a Nash. It wasn't chopped. They just look cool like that.
They all look cool like that? Really?
Yes.
Dude.
Yeah, it looks like it's got like a 2-inch chop. With a lean to the front. They all just had that gangster look. That's the thing is, back in the day, that's where guys got the idea to chop their Ford.
Was from that car? The Nash?
Yeah, nobody was high on meth and just cutting sections of their roof out. These guys saw other cars like Grahams and Nashes and shit like that had these low roof lines, and they were like, damn, you know what I bet we could do, Billy?
Hey, Billy Ray. Come here.
If we do it before Mama get home, she won't know. Let's just take 4 inches out of the roof line and lead that bitch back together.
God, that'd be so dope.
Yeah.
And usually, yeah, I like those two the most.
Usually, if you can find the thing everybody was emulating, it's still better than what everybody was emulating. It's just as time goes on, we all forget what the thing was they were trying to do.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I don't even know if Nash is a brand.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Were they just around for a little bit? Was it an independent brand? Did someone own them and drop them?
Well, no. Packard Nash was, it might have been Graham Nash, and then it was Packard Nash.
Okay.
Packard bought Graham Nash. And then Nash started making a car called the Rambler.
Oh yeah, and that's your favorite car because you could have sex in it.
Well, the Ramblers were. The Nash Rambler was just a model, and then they spun that off into its own cheaper company called Rambler, and then Rambler got turned into the American Motor Company Corporation, AMC,
okay.
Which returned to just having a model called the Rambler.
Okay.
Which was based on the Rambler American, which was based on the Nash Rambler.
Jesus.
And they bought Kaiser, which was Willie's Overland Kaiser. So they bought Jeep. So they owned Jeep. AMC owned Jeep. But Packard Nash went out. Studebaker Pack Nash all went out in 57, 58 was the last model year.
Gotcha.
For all of them, I think. And the only thing that survived was AMC and Jeep. And then the only thing that survived that was Jeep. Well, no, they were still building 70s AMCs deep into the late 80s as Eagles with Jeep
drive. Like the Eagle Talon?
Yeah, so an Eagle Talon is an AMC fucking wagon from like 1973 with a Jeep drivetrain underneath of it.
Whoa, I remember the Eagle Talon. It was kind of like a Mitsubishi Eclipse.
Oh, I'm not thinking of a Talon. I'm thinking of the Eagle. An Eagle, the wagon.
Oh, I'm thinking the Talon.
Yeah, no, the Talon was a Dodge.
Yeah.
So the Plymouth Laser, the dog.
You're so mad. You're so disappointed in what the Eagle Talon was.
Well, I'm not disappointed. It's just complicated because it was that was a joint merger, a joint venture, not a joint merger between Chrysler and Mitsubishi.
Okay.
And what Chrysler contributed was the all-wheel drive systems that they were developing from Eagle.
Okay.
And what Mitsubishi contributed was every fucking thing else.
Okay.
Okay, so it's an Eclipse with all-wheel drive. Eagle was just an Eclipse with the all-wheel drive. Like
the so Mitsubishi actually did have something to do with the Eagle, the Talon.
Yeah, literally everything.
It seemed like it looked the same.
They're the same car.
Got you.
So is a Plymouth Laser right before it, because you're thinking of the roundy, cool one, like Paul Walker mm-hmm. has the manifold fall off of manifold in the first Fast and Furious, his green one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one, they were all the same. And then there's another one called a Plymouth Laser that Dodge was building as well.
Okay.
In the earlier Wedge version.
And then they made the Blazer?
The what?
They had the Laser and the Blazer?
No, Chevy makes the Blazer.
Plymouth had the Laser.
Plymouth made a Laser.
Chevy
made makes the Blazer. And has had the Blazer long before the Laser and well after the Laser.
Yeah, the new Blazer, though, is trash. It looks
it's
so
not
stupid.
Trash. It's just not a Blazer.
It just looks dumb.
I know, but if they would have called it, like, the Chevy Doodad, you'd be like, oh, the Doodads are supposed to be great cars. It's the fact that they had to be like, it's a Blazer. Like, well, it's sure as shit not. You can't just say that. You can't just be like, hey, check out the new Blazer. Like, what makes that a Blazer? Like, well, we call it Blazer. Like, and that's not enough, buddy. Like, a Blazer is supposed to be a two-door truck with a fucking second row in the back instead of storage. Get it together.
Yeah. Ugh. You think the Blazers are ever going to make a comeback?
I mean,
like old school Blazers, like how the Bronco did.
Old school Blazers never went away.
Yeah, but they're not going for like $60,000.
Sir, I encourage you to watch auto auctions.
What?
Yeah. Rebuilt Blazers.
I'm gonna search 1987 Blazer.
Well, no, why don't you look for a real one? Also, like 1987 Broncos only go for money because other than the light assembly, they look identical to the one OJ ran away in. So,
yeah, these like 69 Blazers look sick as fuck.
Yeah, those go for a fortune.
Do they?
Yes, 69 to 73s, 72s
more.
Holy
shit, 82,000. Okay, you're right. Top sale, 195. Most recent, 187.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm dumb.
Yeah. Now, the thing is because it was a much better vehicle, there's more of them around still.
Than the Bronco.
That are running. So you can get a running, shitted out Blazer that's still running and like the interior works for like $7,000 that's just not show condition. Broncos are either rebuilt or shot. There's not an in between. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's nobody selling a 1968 Bronco that's still all original, that's had the carb rebuilt six times, that runs okay. It's either a rolling chassis that's being sold, one with crazy low miles that's being sold, or one that's had $70,000 put into it that they're selling for $160,000. But there's not tinny. Those were tinny. They were on a different frame than the trucks and chassis. Like, they're just... If you got to ride in both of them back to back, dude, if you rode around in like a fucking 74 Blazer and then a 74 Bronco, you would laugh and laugh and laugh about what kind of a broke dick you'd have to be to have bought the Bronco instead that year.
Interesting.
Like there's generational differences in the engineering. It's not a small leap between the two. It is a massive fucking difference in quality between the two. The Broncos are tinny. They had fucking terrible body roll. they were just not well built. There was no insulation. The carpets were fucking fake if you had them. They were just laid in. The fucking windshield's too upright. The suspension's fucked. The wheelbase isn't long enough for the design they were using. Like, they're fucked. They're really rough to be in. Like, if you rode in one from Denver to Colorado Springs, you'd be about done riding in them forever. Whereas, like, a 72 Blazer, the difference between that and the 87 Blazer you're looking at was the engine options and the grill.
And that's it.
They didn't change anything else. The late 60s Blazers on the square body frame before they went to the update. I think it's 70. What year did they update? 74? 73 on the truck, 74 on the Blazers, I think. Or maybe it's early, late 73s. I don't remember. But yeah, there's very little change because they're on 1500 chassis. It's on a purpose-built chassis. They could use the truck R&D. They got good interiors that the work trucks got. Like, there was a lot more thought put into them than what got put into the Bronco.
Well, I got to say, I mean, this Blazer, I mean, I kind of, these old Blazers, they kind of look like the International Heart, they're the Scouts.
You mistakenly spoke there. You said that the Blazers look like the Scouts. The Scouts look like the Blazers.
Are the Scouts, how old are the Scouts?
The ones that look like the Blazers?
Yeah. I'm looking at a 69 Blazer.
Yeah, well, like, what? I'm trying to think of what year the Scouts switched to Scout 2, because you're thinking of the Scout 2.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Because the Scout 1's dinky and looks like a refrigerator box impersonating a Jeep.
Oh, yeah, that does, yeah. Scout 2.
Because there was a Scout 800 and then the Scout 2.
God, this looks so fucking sick, Jake.
You like Scouts, huh?
Yeah.
Me too, buddy. It's a disease. Get over it right now. Stop.
We're not allowed to have one. Is that the deal?
Yeah, man. There's just like... Yeah, I mean, they're great. The problem with Scouts is that they look cool, and every guy who fancies himself a dude who should bang hippie chicks wants one. So they're not cheap either. For a good one, they're not cheap. They're rust buckets. The motors are trash. Your buddy has that Travelall. I fucking love old Travelalls.
He does. He'd sell it to you if you want it.
I don't want it.
He ain't gonna do anything with that.
It's their nightmares. You have to change everything. Like, none of their systems were great. They were all okay. They were always the lowest rated option.
The Travelalls, like, were?
Oh, yeah, dude. Bummer. The Suburban was better.
That's a bummer.
A GMC Suburban was a better option.
I think dudes just love old cars with the thought that they're going to redo them, and then they just sit in their driveway for 14 years.
Yeah, I know. See, that's what's so beautiful. And now all these old guys who are like, I got something worth something, are watching these auctions where none of the old shit's selling for any money. And I'm sitting in the shadows like, I'm going to show up at your house with $1,800 and take all of your shit.
Oh, man.
Because that is the beauty of this, man. Like, there were cars selling at the auction that were cheaper than the paint on them.
This is insane. I don't know what to think about it. I'm going to talk to some other buddies about it, see what they think.
Well, and it's the benefit of me loving cars the way I love them is that I get excited when I see, like, a Pontiac 33B, a 33A sell for no money. I know what it is. I know why it's good, what motor will fit in it. I'm excited because I have way too much historical knowledge about when they were a cool performance vehicle. And other people, I think, would just be like, well, yeah, some old Pontiacs seemed like good prices. Like, no, those were robberies. Old Cadillac robberies. Robberies on some of the old Cadillacs. And then you'd see a Lincoln Continental go for more money than God. And it's like, oh, yeah, because that dude got a blowjob in his dorm room once while he was watching Entourage.
Yeah.
It's
should
bananas.
We start going to these old car auctions then and just start buying some pristine old cars?
Dude, I want to start going to Barrett Jackson in Scottsdale.
Don't you think that they do the? Do you have the option to go through and look at the car beforehand and everything?
Yeah, yeah.
Turn it on.
I don't think they let you turn it on, but they give you like an accurate description of how it runs.
Okay, that's where the 10% comes in.
I think you can go stand there and watch them drive it in line before they take it onto the block and see it running for a second before you run into bid, just to be double sure.
Yeah.
But no, they're reputable. It's not like a cop auction where you can't start anything. There's no questions to be answered or asked.
Yeah, but cop options, man, you can get, or auctions, you can get some cheap, cheap shit.
Dude, I'd say dollars to what you get. There were some better deals at these fucking
Barrett You think, Jackson. Really?
Dude, like a Tuesday morning with no reserve? Some people are walking away with steals, man. Steals. It's upsetting what some of the shit goes for and some of the shit doesn't. I guarantee
you. Should we start a Patreon and then go in and then be like, all right, what do y'all want us to buy for how much money? And then just fucking have a fucking pod car.
Dude, I guarantee for less than 10 grand, we could find you a car at that auction that you would be totally reborn as an old car guy after having it. You'd be like, oh, I can't believe I got this for 10 fucking grand. Can you believe? Nobody can believe what I've got. And that's the whole thing. No, these cars nobody cares about until you get them in front of people.
Do you need to be a dealer to go to Barrett Auction or a Barrett?
No.
Barrett Jackson?
No.
Just go in, you can go as yourself.
Yeah. It's the greatest car show. You're seeing all of the greatest cars in their best condition. Rare shit, one-offs, stuff that never goes out in public. It's pretty dope.
I'm pretty excited for it.
Now, but should we do that or should we go on the biggest cruise in the world?
Dog. I was wondering if we were still going to bring this up or not. Or save it for next week. But my God. This thing is dude, what is this? Carnival? Just put this out. It's like the Gem of the Sea or something.
I think it was Carnival, yeah.
It's the biggest cruise ship in the world. It's a 20-deck cruise ship that holds 5,600 guests plus 2,350 crew members.
So that's literally more people than live in my town.
Yeah. 8,000 people that can handle. It took them 900 days to build this thing.
Damn. And it seems like that's a low number.
When I saw 900 days, I thought that was pretty fast. But then I'm like, I guess that's like almost 3 years.
No, not that part. The capacity seems low.
Oh, then it can only hold 8,000 people?
Yeah. Does that seem right to you?
Think of what an aircraft carrier can hold.
What can an aircraft carrier hold?
Well, the USS Gerald R. Ford, I know, is the biggest. USS Ford capacity. I think it's only like 5,000.
Right, total. But that thing's holding like
4,500 people.
And military equipment and like has operational centers. I'm just blown away that a ship that big. Think about theaters you've played.
Yeah. I mean,
like, I would feel like a ship that was that fucking massive would carry, you know, 20,000 people or something insane.
Well, you got to have room for the amusement park, right. And the pools, and the motors, gyms, the engines, the fuel, the rooms,
the kitchens,
the restaurants. I mean, I bet you they have some 1,000 seat theaters on board.
Right. Shit like that. That's
I guess the more space. That we talk about it, it does seem less than I was expecting.
It seems like a lot less. Like when I was looking at it and pictures of it, I was like, that doesn't seem right. Like, unless it has more shit on it as far as entertainment than anybody's ever seen by like a lot. Like, that's crazy. Not, but like, I just don't know.
It's called the Icon of the Sea. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's fucking huge.
Dude, it's so big. It's 365 meters long, so 1,200 feet long. The Gerald, the USS Ford is 333 meters long. So it's like, it's about the same size almost as the largest aircraft carrier in the world.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's like, and it's crazy because when you look at it, like pictures of it, you know, and everything,
it looks Photoshopped. It doesn't even look real.
It does look Photoshopped, and they're like, and the they're truly
bigger.
Yeah, dude. Think of how much of the boat is in the actual water.
I was trying to think about that. Like if it has like those what do you call those hydrofoils? Like it's got to have all kinds of shit going on under the water that you can't see. Because there's no, how the fuck does it stabilize? The top's bigger than the bottom. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
It doesn't make any sense. And then it's like so, like in the middle of it, it just seems like such a weird use of space. Because that's like the, like there's like a couple pools and some tanning area and all this stuff. But there's 7 pools, 40 restaurants and shit like that. It's fucking huge. And it's but the other thing too, it's, I think it's Royal Caribbean. I don't think it's, it doesn't really matter what it is, but yeah, Royal Caribbean, Icon of the Sea. But it's like, how does this handle any sort of storm? Like, yeah. Like you get a big wave and how does that not push this whole fucking thing over? It looks so top heavy. It looks so like unstable.
That was my first thought when I saw pictures, honestly, is like, I want to see a simulation of this thing in a fucking storm. Because it's going to be like a tank where it just doesn't move. Because it's so fucking big that it's just unwilling to give to the ocean's desire. Or that thing's going to get tossed like salad.
I don't know how that would work.
I don't get it.
When also, imagine how well qualified of a captain you have to be to have gotten this job. Thing?
Dude. Holy shit, dude. What a crazy gig that would be.
It's insane. And then think how much it would suck to be the crew. Because your crew is clear, like your crew shelf is clearly down on the bottom. right? And
have you ever talked to like comics who've done that?
Uh-huh.
Sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, it's terrible.
You're eating day-old food?
I don't know if it's that bad. I think Royal Caribbean's better than like Carnival. Carnival's the worst of everything. It's like the Spirit Airlines of the
ocean. Yeah, of the sea.
Of the cruise world. Yeah, it's dumb. Yeah, man, I don't know. I'm not a cruise guy myself, but I don't know if I'd want to be stuck on a boat with fish. So this article says here that it's a maximum of 7,600 people.
Plus the crew.
Plus the crew, which is still, you know, that's like 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 people. That's like that full Red Rocks can fit on here.
Yeah, that seems still like light to me.
Yeah.
For the size.
It's so much. It's so much. I don't know. I would love to see like a little go-kart track on one of these things.
I think that's on one of them.
Really?
Yeah, one of the, yeah, for 100%. Not I think. One of the cruises has a go-kart track for sure.
I would love that.
Yeah.
I would also love a way to like freeze, to like jump off the side of the boat into the ocean and then get picked up without dying.
That would be dope.
Wouldn't it be, dude?
I think they got a lot of motor under there, though.
That it would like pull you under, you think?
Or that it like the risk of it would be too high for them to let you try.
That's true. You think these things are running on nuclear power? Probably not.
No.
I mean, that's what the USS Gerald Ford is running on. You think this is running on just diesel?
Yes.
Just hundreds of thousands of gallons of diesel.
Yeah, we didn't think about that, how big the fuel tanks probably are.
I mean, that's probably all under the boat. That's probably what keeps it stable.
I still don't understand how the fuck it's stable.
It's so weird. It's so
because the fuel is getting run down, so you can't count on that weight for your stability in a fucking storm.
True.
Yeah, like I just don't. I feel like we're months away from seeing a really crazy news headline about how 7,000 people died because this thing snapped in half.
Like Titanic at the end.
Dude, yeah. It's going to be nuts. And it's so big, nobody's going to live.
Oh, man.
The suction when that thing went under, could you imagine? Dude,
yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me. I would not get on it. Boats will have to be that big for a long time before I'd ever be comfortable with the idea of getting on one that big, or that design rather.
It's on a sold out. Its first voyage is sold out. There's 50 musicians and comedians as well as a 16-piece orchestra. That sounds a lot like the Titanic to me.
Mm-hmm. About to be some dead rich people.
Woo! Well, let's make sure that they let's make sure we don't go on any cruises recently. I am not a cruise guy. I don't think I could ever do that. I like boats, but I don't need that.
I don't like tiny beds.
I don't like tiny beds. I don't know. I slept on a boat one time in Hawaii when I was huge. When I was doing shows out there, I slept on a boat in Hawaii, and everyone was like, oh, the ocean's going to rock you to sleep. And I'm like, nope, I fucking hate this.
It sucked?
Yeah, it was just too small. I didn't really like the rocking. I didn't know what was going on. There was like other sounds that just kept waking me up. I just wasn't ready for it. Yeah.
No, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I like being high in a bed.
Ditto, brother. Ditto. Well, we'll save the rest of this for next time. We got a pretty full episode here. But coming up next week, we're going to talk about a couple more things. We got some more shit talking on EV cars, which I'm so excited to do again. I fucking love talking shit about EV cars. And then some big news in F1. If you are coming over from the old F1 pod, Drive to Survive kicks off here in a couple weeks on Netflix, which will be very fun. And then the season starts in March. God, I can't fucking wait.
Fuck yeah.
I can't wait. So a lot of good stuff coming up. Jake, you got anything fun coming up? You going on any traveling coming up with ST or Chubby Bobos?
Not that I have planned at all yet.
That's good.
So no, not for a while.
That also sounds like typical Sam, though.
Yeah. Could be last minute. I don't think I'm going anywhere till August if I go anywhere.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, sweet. Well, sweet. Well, check me out online. You can find my website, my special Brent Gill Comedy. You can check me out live from Philadelphia as a special. Hit me up on Instagram. And thanks for listening. Jake, we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Later.